I like the, God damn it. I like that for, cut out where I said, God damn it. There's that. I like that first where you were, like, hello. Or did I do that or did you do that? Okay.
Well, no, I did. I said hello, but I didn't hear you respond, so I did it again, actually.
Okay, so technically, the show has not started yet. So this is not this is not even the intro. This is just we're giving people a little privy into what happens behind the scenes. Because it has been a long break. I'm unsure about the levels on this machine here. So say something again.
Well, yeah, we're back. Though.
Yeah, but you're popping nice on this screen. So.
Okay.
I gotta think this is working, right?
Well, we're gonna go with that.
Is it still? Yeah, I mean, it's looking good. Okay, all right. So let's officially. Music would be going now, I guess.
Right. Man. All of our friends around the globe and all the ships at sea have been missing us.
Yeah, surprising number. Well, not surprising, I guess. I've always said this is a very attentive fan base, you know, if secretive. Lots of letters.
Yeah.
You know, from people saying, well, you know, it's been 2 months. What's, you know, where are you guys? So we don't need to go into where we were or where I was or what was happening. We don't need to. I mean, you know, a lot's happened. It's hard not to just go into Roe v. Wade.
That's kind of the moment, but as if that were the only thing, though, and it's not.
Well, I mean, you move back. We were in March. We last spoke in March.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's wild.
Oh, but before we get off it, very, very nice letters. Wonderful people in Australia, different places. It's a global show. It's a very diverse, would you say, a diverse audience?
I would definitely say. It seems like a lot of it's been coming from the Middle East, which...
I thought we said we weren't going to talk about it. Okay, yeah, no. Yeah, a lot of fans in the Middle East.
Yeah.
You know, it's a global world. Man, I feel like this is cutting out, I'm telling you. Hello, hello.
What's the VU meter really doing?
You're not as high as me. Let me see. Where are you coming in? Say something.
Something.
A little
in
more.
The way she moves attracts me like, you know, no other lover.
Lover, hater, whatever. say something else again. I want to see if this thing pops up a little.
47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation dedicated to. Yeah, how are we doing?
It looks pretty good. No, I was going to let you keep. I was going to let you keep going. All right. Okay, so we love our. Let's get off of that. We love our fans. We love you guys. Thanks for writing in. You know, you mean the world.
Yeah.
So speaking of the world.
Remember when we changed the name of the show when Biden was elected?
That's right.
Well, it turns out the name All You Fascists is more apt than ever.
Things really, really went downhill quickly. So I guess it all starts with what? What was the guy walking into the grocery store in Buffalo or before that?
Well, if we're talking about fascism... How about when the Ku Klux Klan reemerged in the 20s? And there's been an anti-democratic element of the of Southern politics ever since,
right,
which first infected the Democratic Party. Let's be honest about that. But when Southern Democrats became Republican. Then it really became, I mean, we went even into Clinton's term in office with, there's still Republicans that were, you know, believed in democracy at least. I don't think we have that now.
I mean, I've always said it's just kind of window dressing to just being anti-liberal, anti-Democratic Party politics. You know what I mean? Whatever the Democratic Party is pushing, the Republican.
There's certainly
that. You know, I mean, it's just the opposite. Whatever, you know what I mean? And it just so happens that it's progressive politics because it's about fixing mistakes that we made before. That's kind of what it's about, right?
Yeah. Progressive politics in America is kind of like mainstream politics in Europe.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, it's center left would be more accurate. Exactly. you know, it's a closer to being centrist than it is to, you know, their progressive politics would scare the shit out of us. You know, even people exactly. on the left. Yeah, just a real, you know, I mean, sometimes we got it right, though, in the past. I mean, and you know, what happens with Roe v. Wade now is a mistake that we corrected 50 years ago.
Exactly. And it's so funny, too, the hypocrisy of the right in particular, and the court specifically, is, I think, highlighted by the two rulings that came a day apart from each other. Shooting down New York state law on carrying, you know, concealed weapons
right.
in New York. They went, you know, against states' rights there, against, you know, that kind of autonomy. And with Roe v. Wade, they did exactly the opposite. State power coming, I mean, the power of the state coming down with hobnail boots on pregnant women wishing to abort.
Right. And let's not go into we're as red in terms of the arguments for or against. This decision was made 5 decades ago. So 50 years ago, we got it right, which was, you know, let the woman decide. Bodily autonomy. Right. Yeah. Because you don't own anything. If you don't own your body,
that's one of our founding concepts. I mean, I think John Stuart Mill put it most succinctly for the current argument is the individual in his own mind and body are sovereign.
Right.
But that's basically what all people are created equal and, you know, have the right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That's basically what that is, too.
I mean, further to birth and forced birth is what we're talking about now, right? Forced,
exactly
forced birth. Right. I mean, the UN has ruled on this, you know. The UN, the League of Nations, you know.
Well, so
forced birth is forced birth is a it's a human rights violation. It's
That's where we're at.
That's where we're at. And 70% of the country is against doing this. Keep that in mind as well. So for a full 70% at least.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So what is the court doing?
Well, they are they're not a Democratic Party anymore.
But they're reflective of what? Who is this for? Like hardline Christians?
People who would like to see a government in the United States, something on the order of Turkey.
But specifically shooting down the Roe v. Wade legislation, making it illegal, taking away those rights of autonomy to women, right? Who's celebrating this?
Some converging agenda. One, power mongers see that they can get support of a certain number of religious people. And a few others as well, but mostly it's a religious thing.
I mean, that's my point is I've only seen hardline Christians arguing this. Those are the only ones I've seen arguing this.
So the Pew breakdown is the unchurched 80%, 85% support abortion rights. 72% of evangelical Christians support making it illegal. So that's the big divergence right
now. So how are there so few evangelical Christians and they have 6 of the 9 justices? How did they get six?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, we've talked about it before, but when we went to nine justices, we had nine circuits at that time. That was the measure. A justice for each circuit, symbolically.
And all of that has always been completely malleable. I mean, we opened up with six justices. You know, I think there was six circuits then too.
Maybe it's just a coincidence that it worked out that way. But
yeah,
but here we sit today with nine justices and 13 circuits.
We need 13 justices.
It seems like we're exactly four short. If the vote is 6-3 to strip women of their autonomy, we're exactly four justices short, is what it seems like.
Yeah.
So how do you do that? How would you do that?
So
if you were
the
Biden,
way you do that,
right,
you got to change the Constitution, the federal law on it, which would require 2/3 in the Senate.
Now that's all.
However, if once you get that done, though, to put more justices on the court then would just be, you know, to vote a new number would be simple majority.
Simple majority.
51.
But you need 2/3 to expand the court.
Yes.
So that given this, because I think this is, we talk about bellwethers, this is a bellwether for the country in terms of which direction it's going. We've said that a couple of times, but this is certainly the moment, the female voting reaction to this in November.
Yeah.
Because it's not a lot of seats to get 2/3. You know, it's not really that many, actually.
67 is all we need, and we got 50 now. So
right.
There you are.
Well, I mean, the Tea Party won more seats than that. I'm just saying we've had political movements have that kind of success, so it's not out of the question.
So with all the red gerrymandered districts in this country, though.
But women are everywhere.
Yeah,
and you're alone in that voting booth.
And how exactly that's going to affect the election in November remains to be seen, but most people expect it to either be very dramatic, somewhat dramatic, or only a little bit. So I don't know where that's going to fall.
I can't see a woman walking into a voting booth in November and voting to continue down this path, because you know women couldn't have their own bank account until 1974, right?
Yeah. Right.
This isn't the past. Well, this is happening.
There are many Muslim women who support clitoractomy. So there's that.
Okay, well, that's a weird statement, but all right. I don't know if that's true.
There are plenty of Christian women who will vote along those lines as well.
I just think you can't out gerrymander an entire gender. So I really feel like, you know, Handmaid's Tale. Enough of us saw it, I think, right?
Well, I don't think anything could galvanize the left more than this has.
So it's 16 or 17 Senate seats, and then I would immediately expand the court in short order, you know, and I probably wouldn't stop at 13. You know, 19 sounds a lot better, actually. Why wouldn't you want more voices on something? You know,
I'd be fine with that.
The other thing I would do is term limits. I think a generation.
Why?
Because a generation is enough time.
On court?
I'm saying that when you get into the Supreme Court, you have 20 years on the court.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You know, and the idea is society, which you are effectively removed from because of the lofty of your position and the attention you must pay to that, you fall out of touch with society in 20 years. It's only natural, if you're doing your job properly, that you would fall out of touch.
Ruth didn't.
I'm just saying we need to build enough of this lifetime. You know what I mean? I don't ban them from ever holding public office, public speech. You can ban them from everything, you know? You can't do anything else. You can't earn any money.
I'm less convinced of that.
What's that?
I'm less convinced that term limits is an actual fix.
I'm saying it start to, we need to send a message to future courts that sit to let them know that when you go against the will of the population on things, there's a price to pay for that, because ultimately your job is to interpret the Constitution, right?
Yeah.
And when you wield this kind of power, it's to make an effective change that everybody wants, and it's too slow to get it. Right?
Right. So there's been a principle on the court that they don't go against community standards too much. That was the big phrase, you know, in pornography rulings, community standards. And the court has always been sensitive to that. Right now, the court is absolutely thumbing its nose at public opinion. Thomas just says so. We're not going to be held by that.
What the fuck? You know what I mean?
Thomas says that.
Anita Hill tried to warn us.
Yeah, right? Yes, she did. I believed her then.
Yes, she did. Yes, I did.
All right, so getting rid of justices who lied in their confirmation hearings?
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like it.
Ocasio-Cortez, you know, came out this week with that, you know, like, hey, wait a minute. These guys lied during their confirmation.
I've heard that from other voices as well. if we got enough votes in Congress, it could happen very easily.
I don't know if I would go down that route, but I think the court has been effectively packed by a very small minority. And, from time to time it happens.
An anti-democratic minority.
You know, it's a small minority. The court should fluctuate, but it should be middle of the road. There's 9 of them, and they should be 5-4 on a lot of stuff. When I see 6-3, that's a problem for me. You know, that's a problem. That's not a body is not operating effectively.
Well, it depends on the issue too. I mean, there's some things that are 9-0.
So go back 50 years. What else would you bring back? You know, what else were we doing at that time that we would like to bring back? Like Union Carbide? I shouldn't say Union Carbide. Okay, well, forget that thought.
Go ahead.
I'm not going to say it. My point is, a lot of stuff happened 50 years ago that we, in law, have decided, you know, let's not do that. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so are we bringing everything back? How long will women be able to drive? How long?
Okay. So in his opinion, Alito said that the reason that they're shooting down abortion rights and that there's no abortion rights in the Constitution is that abortion isn't mentioned in the Constitution. And so that's the rationale that they're using, that it's not an enumerated right. But of course, it's ridiculous, because there's plenty of unenumerated rights that are yet guaranteed by the Constitution. So it's just nutso. I think they're a court without a democratic rationale. That's just what it is. They want what they want, and anything they can do to get it, it's okay.
Well, you said it yourself. This is made possible by money and votes that are available from evangelical Christians. Right?
Right.
The votes are available because they're able to organize their vote, because they meet on Sunday to work that out.
They hear sermons from the pulpit saying Biden's Satan.
So they have a scheduled meeting. They all meet all across the country in every community of every size. They meet, right? The money is available because, of course, you know, people donate money, right? When they go.
What, you're not going to your weekly atheist meeting?
I'm just saying, it seems like they're collecting enough money to buy 6 justices, right?
Well, that's certainly what they did.
The money and the votes is the thing. That's the pie they have that they're holding. Hey, you want a little of this? Here's what you got to do. And so the court responded to that, right?
Right.
On some level, they bought. They said, all right, we want some of that pie. What do you need? Oh, Roe v. Wade, no problem. Psh. Religious liberty, the coach that got suspended for praying with his football players at midfield. Are you following that story? That was the day or two. That was 2 days after Roe v. Wade. Right.
He gets to pray in the field with the team.
You're damn right. And then now I saw some teacher tweet this morning. I'm going to start every class reading the Quran. Thanks. Like, I'm going to start reading the Quran to my students. Thank you very much.
Perfect.
I'm just saying they are wielding the power of that money to change the country. They're a political lobby. They're not. You see what I'm saying? It's a lobby.
That's absolutely true, and a minority at that.
So if they're doing all this political activity and they're a lobby and they're changing the country, shouldn't they pay taxes at least?
I mean, I've been on the side of they should pay taxes anyway.
Okay. Hey, look, it's capitalism. It's a pirate colony. They made a bunch of money. They used it to wield political power to get what they wanted. That's America, right?
Right.
That's America on the civic level all the way up.
Why they should be forgiven property taxes, though, and income taxes.
They don't pay any taxes. They have tax amnesty. Why are they paying no taxes and they're able to buy the Supreme Court? Why? I don't understand that.
Then they compound their crime by these political activities.
I mean, part of me doesn't give a shit that they're using money to do that. I kind of don't care about that part that much. I mean, I know it's wrong, but I kind of don't give a shit about that part. Right. It's just the fact that they're not paying taxes. So we all have to suffer with what they want, and they're not even going to contribute to the society in any way.
Which means our part of the cost of government is greater than theirs, so really goes right into our pocketbooks.
And since we're picking up the tab, since we're paying for everything, maybe we should get some consideration with decisions a little bit, you think? Maybe?
Well, except that the people with money and who do support the government with the most money are also the people that are... got a heavy thumb on public policy at the same time. Talking about the oligarchy.
I just want people around the world to know that most of the country is against this. So,
right.
That's the truth.
And I think that's what got at least people in Europe scratching their heads. And when they see these statistics that up to 70% of Americans want abortion rights, and yet here we are, they're going, "What? How'd that happen?
How does that happen?" So America has been hijacked. We're saying that the fascists are going to take over. Sort of seems like they have already.
Oh, I think they very much have.
This isn't something that's looming on the horizon. It's here.
Say the name of our show has never been more apt. I mean, because it's at all levels too. I mean, you've got the rank and file fascists out there with their their AK-47s and AR-15s and
and judging each other.
Those in Congress that know that there was the election was legitimate, and yet, well, they've been caught trying to overthrow the government.
Right.
This is people in the leadership positions in the Democratic Party, including the last president, and all kinds of people swarming around him.
So, is the Roe v. Wade thing just a distraction from that? You suppose.
Is it a distraction or is it
from the hearings, from the Watergate hearings? What'd you say?
Is it a distraction or is it just a symptom of the same cancer?
It seems like it's a pretty momentous thing to just pop out of nowhere. So I really feel like and at the same exact moment, the hearings are in full swing.
Yeah. Well, see, this is the thing that fascists typically do. They edge at getting things the way they want, and they edge, and then they overreach, and the public is shocked. How did this happen?
Right.
Well, I think that's where they're at right now.
Yeah, this was an overreach, and in a midterm election year, you know, like the only way this would have been worse is during an election year in terms of strategy.
The court has never had less credibility than it does.
I'm right saying now. The GOP in general.
Uh-huh.
How can they possibly do well in November? I'm asking you, how would that happen? Gerrymandering or not?
Well, that would be how gerrymandered districts.
But you've motivated the entire, even lethargic voters are going to come out in en masse. You watch the numbers. You watch November.
Right. So that's what I think. I think this is the overreach.
I think you're right.
I thought it would happen sooner, but I think we're finally at it because a public policy has not received so much attention and protest. Well, police powers, but that wasn't the result of any law that had been passed or court or this is different. This is actual policy enacted by Republicans that is completely overreach and has outraged a lot of people. So we're gonna. So this November will definitely be a bellwether of that. There's a lot of. There's states that are ready to outlaw abortion.
And other states saying, "Come on over," hey, you know, New York saying, "Hey, you're good here."
California saying, "Yeah."
So, you know, yeah. I think we'll definitely see a lot of pro-life women taking short vacations, you know, to New York and California.
The Republicans in Texas have on their platform now is secession. Voting for secession, the ability to vote for secession, is it?
That's it.
I feel bad for Austin.
Yeah, tough break.
But
Austin.
Yeah. What would be the problem of letting Texas go? I sure wouldn't want to fight a civil war to keep them in.
No. I mean, you know, it's oil, I guess.
Right? And oil, that's going away. I don't know how long that's going to take, but it's going to go away.
And we can certainly buy it for a little while until it's not necessary. I mean, it's fine.
Yeah. And, you know, there's oil outside of Texas in this country as well.
I mean, I hate to see Texas go. I like Texas.
Do you?
If I open up a restaurant abroad, I'm going to call it Real Texas. I decided. It's going to be like a barbecue joint.
Uh-huh, sure. See the...
If you were an expat, let me ask you this. If you were an expat walking around looking for some food, okay, and you smell it, and you're like, oh, my God, that's barbecue. And then you look, and it says Real Texas. What do you think? I mean, you know what I mean? There's no confusion there, right?
It fits. It wouldn't be the selling point for me, that's for sure. One, I'm not a fan of barbecue.
You don't like barbecue?
Not really. I mean, I eat plenty of barbecued chicken, barbecued fish. Well, I guess you could call it barbecued fish.
Not really. But I mean barbecued chicken. I mean chicken and barbecue sauce on a grill. That's what I mean.
It's pretty good. I'm up for that.
Would the name Texas turn you off to that place? Like, oh, fuck that. You know what I mean?
Kind of. I'm saying that.
Well, I'm not 100% on the name. But related to that, do you think people would eat hot barbecue chicken in a tropical climate?
I think they do.
Okay. Luau's. You're thinking luau's.
What's that, Cuban chicken? There's blackened chicken.
Yeah, jerk chicken.
Jerk chicken, yeah. So that's all tropical stuff.
Okay, we can talk about this some other time. Okay, so you know what? Okay, do you want to talk about the school shootings? You know what I mean? I mean, you know,
sure.
I mean, this starts with a racist shooting, a racist motivated attack in Buffalo, New York.
Right.
Guy filmed the whole thing.
Starts in quotes.
Well, he live streamed the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, that guy, that kid again, he had to get the rifle. And then he got the kid going into Uvalde, Texas, and you know, slaughtering those preschool kids.
So these are 18-year-olds that bought these guns legally.
Legally. The guy in Texas who killed the little kids, you know, he got the gun like an hour before.
Yeah.
Right. This kid worked at Taco Bell.
Well, he used a credit card. I guess he's not going to have to pay that off. Did he use his grandmother's credit card?
Yeah, I don't know how that worked, but it's thousands and thousands of dollars of gear. The truck was like it was an F-250. The truck, it was like a $70,000 truck, right? 80 grand, that truck.
He didn't buy that, did he?
Yeah, I don't know where that came from, but nonetheless.
I get the family member's truck.
You have to ruin everything, don't you? You know what I mean? I'm trying to go flat earth on this a little bit. You know, firmament.
Well, there's flat earthers all around the globe.
You should be if you're on TikTok, there's so many flat earth things. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I think maybe they're sending me that because of my age, probably. Figure there's a 50% chance I'm into it.
Yeah. I don't know.
So,
right. I mean, what can you say about the shootings?
Well, you can say about Uvalde. Look, what you can say about Uvalde is there were 88 cops standing outside the school for an hour.
Then there's that.
So there's that. So.
Where are those good guys with guns?
Standing out in front of the school.
Yeah, right.
I mean, nobody wanted to go in and get shredded by that machine gun, and who can blame them, right?
Well, they had their tools. They had that shield thing with you can point the gun through it, you know?
Well, that shield thing's a good thing. Look, you know, they're not soldiers. Cops are not soldiers, right?
Right. So when the criminals have weapons of war, that kind of puts them in that place.
They're it makes them be a soldier for 20 minutes, and they're not, you know, soldiers don't. Soldiers train for more than 0 minutes. You know what I mean? You have to build a soldier. You have to build someone that can go into a room and face a machine gun. You have to build that person.
Police policy, though, is take out the threat. That's job one.
They didn't want to go in and shoot any kids friendly fire, and I don't blame them for that either. You know, there's a lot of decisions to be made going in there. Self-preservation. Certainly. You know, it's not a good situation. They're not trained for that, even if they took a 16-week course to do it.
If I were a cop, I would sure want the AR-15 to be banned.
I don't think they should have to face that weapon.
I
don't think unarmed people should face it, and I don't think armed cops trained as peace officers should face it.
The ideology of a lot of cops, though, includes, Second Amendment.
Sure. And I think there's decisions to be made here. I mean, you know, one kid died from a lawn dart in the 70s, and there were no more metal-tipped lawn darts.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you would figure after Sandy Hook, we would see aggressive, I'm not saying ban guns, you know, I'm not, we're generations away from that discussion.
I think so.
And I think it'll happen organically before it happens through legislation.
Yeah, I think you were right. And we could pass the law tomorrow outlawing assault weapons and with a buyback and getting them off the street as efficiently as possible. But there's millions of them out there.
Sure.
And it's not going to change anytime soon, no matter what the law says.
Hey, you look, I don't know what I paid for the gun, but times are tough right now. Somebody offers me $4,000 or $5,000 for that gun.
Yeah, right?
No questions asked. And I got two or three of them.
Sure.
I'm telling you, that can feed a lot of wolves that are at the door. So now is the time to do an aggressive buyback.
Yeah, and make it really attractive.
Make it really, really attractive. Hey, that sucks. You got to give up your fake machine gun. But unfortunately, they find their way into the hands of kids to kill other kids too often. So that's it. No more lawn darts.
After Christchurch in New Zealand, they immediately passed a buyback and a ban, and it worked. They got them. They got most of the guns that they believe were in the country.
Hey.
Assault weapons.
Times are tough. Which is the second part of what we're talking about is times are tough. Inflation is hyper.
It is.
Robert Reich, the premier economist, is saying we're in a recession, and this is not a normal recession because we kept interest rates too low for too long during the bull market, and it's going right. And it's going to take that long. The length of time we extended it, that's how long it will take to recover. So we're talking right. about year and, a recession and lasting that's on years.
That's on top of all of the other supply chain interruptions, a war in Ukraine that's affecting oil, world oil. So
we have hyperinflation right now.
They didn't expect those things, and so they didn't account for that in the keeping of the interest rates low.
They just wanted to keep the what happens at the end of every bull run of every bubble, every bull run. It happens at the very end. They start borrowing on the fringes to keep it going. Like, keep it burning. Give anybody a mortgage.
Yeah.
We need to keep the numbers up.
So that's the that's what heated up the housing market so quickly was the low interest rates. And all kinds of investments, actually.
I mean, crypto, the bottom fell out of crypto. I'm reading horrific tweets from crypto people. I mean, horrific tweets. Like, I had my whole life savings in Luna and I lost it in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
It went up for years. All it did was go up and make me rich for years. And in 30 minutes, it was gone.
Yeah. When has that happened before?
It's happening more or less to every crypto. And now what you get is, okay, so all the people that got really rich sold off, right? All that's left, right. All that's left is the middling investor who didn't have insider knowledge, right? And then there's all these articles now saying, oh, now's the time. Hey, when Bitcoin's a million, aren't you going to be glad you bought a bunch when it was 20,000?
Yeah.
On Wall Street terms, they call those people the bag holders. those are the last people to invest in something before it tanks out.
So I know somebody that got in at 3,000 for Bitcoin.
Sure.
So they're still ahead of the game, but they were kind of high on the hog there for a minute and then decided, well, I can't be that high on the hog anymore.
Well, you know, what they say to do at that point is back out your initial three, tip yourself a little,
right.
and then just stay long with everything else. The rest of right. it's a lottery ticket, you know?
Yeah. So, right.
Gas prices are at an all-time high. No, but they're close.
So that's one of the main criticisms against Biden.
Even though the Democrats put forth a bill to end price gouging at the pump, and every single Republican voted against it.
Yes.
Right.
Well, yeah, there's so many things you can point to the hypocrisy of the Republican Party, and that's a huge one, I think.
But rank and file Republicans carving fuck Biden into gas pumps.
But, okay, so that brings up Biden. Biden, 2024.
Doomed.
You think?
Doomed. You got to make a decision. Make a decision after midterms.
Harris, 2024.
That's better.
Better?
Oh, yeah. Harris Newsom.
How about Gavin Newsom? Yes.
But how about Harris lead the ticket with Newsom as the vice president?
So Newsom would get to pick his own. So that's that.
But they could say to Newsom, look, you're the guy, you're going to be president, but you have to be a vice president first. That's your path.
Right.
Bring California to bear. I don't know. I like a Newsom ticket wherever he sits.
Yeah. He's young. He's energetic. He's progressive.
He doesn't sound young and energetic.
Well, right.
He sounds like he was fronting the Eagles for 20 years on tour.
Right. So I would rather actually see Adam Schiff, but I don't think that's anywhere in, you know, the ballpark.
But no, to answer your question, I don't think. Do you see Biden as a realistic candidate in 2024? Do you think he could win against Trump?
Quite honestly, I think he could win, depending on what's going on, amongst Republicans. If it's Trump, Biden wins easily. If it's DeSantis, though?
What if it's Trump DeSantis? It's a tough ticket. That's a tough ticket. That's Florida.
If I were Trump, I would not want DeSantis as my vice president.
But it gives you Florida.
Yeah, but DeSantis wants the presidency, though. So
you got to choose a vice president that's either from Ohio, Pennsylvania, or Florida. You know,
I'm saying this: if DeSantis, who wants the presidency, is vice president, how does he get it?
By running in 4 years.
He wants it sooner than that, though.
I think he can wait 4 years and run as an incumbent.
I'm saying I would be looking over my shoulder if I were Trump in that situation.
I can't believe Trump's going to... This is unbelievable. How about Trump versus Harris? Jesus Christ, what an election.
I think I would have more trepidation about that if Roe had not happened.
Right. Oh, sure. This is a game changer for sure.
That would be good for Harris. So, right. Republican Party attacking democracy. That's where we're at with the Republican Party. They don't want democracy. They don't like democracy. They are actively trying to dismantle democracy. And we, you know, these hearings, which are changing things, they've more than made their case about the criminality of Trump and his efforts to overturn the election. But I think what's really the interesting part is that it's changing minds. It really is. Would there be any effect? That was my big question. There's a poll that says they probably are. 3 weeks ago, 10% of Republicans said they wanted Trump prosecuted for trying to overturn the election. It's now 20%, double. So clearly, people who are identify as Republican are being moved. So what's the Department of Justice going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the DOJ has issued a subpoena to Jeff Clark. So it looks like the DOJ is starting to move on it. And Jeff Clark is the AG that environmental lawyer that Trump tried to make AG after Barr quit. Totally. And then the rest of the department said we would not serve under that guy. I'd quit today.
I'm just saying. No, it's a tough deal for Biden though, with the gas prices and the hyperinflation, you know.
Yeah,
it's a tough.
Clearly, and yeah. I'd say he's having a pretty good effect on this inevitable economic, downturn.
I saw an economist say that you can tell that the country is jacked up because there's a shortage of peanut butter in stores. because what they found is in times of economic turmoil and people have no money, they will substitute peanut butter for meat.
Oh,
people, consumers, buyers in the store will buy more peanut butter and less meat. Right.
That sounds almost rational.
It sounds horrific and dystopian. And right? It sounds like it should be in the Freakonomics book. You know, do you ever read? Yeah. You ever read that book, Levitt and Brown?
I've looked at it. No, I haven't read it all the way through.
Just freaky stats, yeah, and what they mean, right?
I've looked at some of those.
No, but they had, the abortion, the legalization of abortion led to a decrease in crime 18 years later. Stuff like that.
See, I love that kind of, you know, connect the dots, you know, sort of stuff.
Weird stuff.
Yeah.
Every time you ban abortion as a society, it doesn't turn out right. When Ceausescu did it in Romania, it was about 20 years later that he was deposed and executed. So, I mean, it's you build a revolution. And things are moving a lot quicker now.
Yeah, I guess that's the internet.
We should talk about the general strike. There's supposed to be a general strike, so...
Over
Roe v. Wade.
Sure.
Right. I mean, Iceland was able to do it with equal pay for women, right? They shut down the whole country for 5 or 6 days. Just women stopped going to work, stopped doing anything. And it took them about five.
Well, some of them are vowing not to have sex with men until Roe v. Wade is reestablished.
So it's a little Lysistrata.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Which we read in high school, so we were primed for this moment.
Right?
Well, I do want to talk about my libido and medical issues, but I guess we'll save that for the next show.
Okay.
I don't know. I kind of ran out of steam. You?
I mean, there was just... It's almost overwhelming.
It's overwhelming.
The amount of stuff to talk about. So... So
maybe we'll just do another one on Saturday.
I'm down. It'll almost be part two of today.
Yeah, this is part one, everybody.
Right.
You've been listening to All You Fascists.
Good morning.
I bought a masticating juicer. I want to talk about that too next show.
Good morning.
I promise to have more energy next time. This is devastating. The country's falling apart. It's hard to, you know, let's try to be funny. You know what I mean?
Well, I might. That's what we need, to be sure. And I might have some help for that.
Help for what?
Microdosing mushrooms.
Okay, that's a great thing for part two. Okay, I like that.
I don't have any right now. Is the thing. I've been trying, and you know, but it's hard. If so, that will help. Believe me.
Okay. Well, I don't have anything like that. But what I can do is, just figure out my coffee. You know, to start with the show, kind of. Because I kind of was already. I was coming down for my coffee already when we started.
Should we start earlier?
I just need to start drinking later. That's the deal.
Okay.
It doesn't matter when we do it. I just need to have nothing, no caffeine until you know it's starting because. I really do overdose on caffeine a little bit, so.
No, yeah, it's easy to do. It's good. I like coffee.
We really miss talking to.
I pull myself to 2 cups, otherwise I'm, you know, jittery.
I just wanted to say again to the audience, thank you for reaching out. Those of you that did, and the rest of you, thank you for tuning in.
Right, especially while we've been out of the room.
We've been out of the room for a minute. As you can see, we're limping back in. So we'll get it together. We don't want to disappoint our tens of fans.
Tens of what?
We do have wonderful fans in San Diego. Wonderful fans, patriarchs of the show. Is that the right word? No. That's not the right word. What do I mean?
I think we want to stay square. We're away from the term patriarch.
That's not the right word. Well, we'll figure it out.
Perfect.
No, people that are not, they're not boo. They're like boosters, right?
Sure they are. supporters.
Supporters, but in more aggressive support. So we have fans like that in lots of places, and we love that. People that spread word about the show, and we're very thankful for that.
Right. And they're all around the world.
And you're all around the world now, and we'll be on other planets soon. And
Mars, we're looking at you.
I'd like to get going on Mars. You know, maybe that'll be like a monthly show. We'll see.
Sure.
But anyway, thank you, James.
All right. Thank you, Dave. It feels good to be back in the room.
Well, it feels like good morning is what it feels like. And it's been a long time since we've heard it. And, you know, of course, the silky smooth sounds of Nicey Nice World playing us out.
All there.
All there. All in as well. So we will see you soon.
Ciao.
Ciao. Don't say goodbye. How about we pick a role? Something to hide the core. And we spend the afternoon